Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Sing as Jesus is. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. Is he your Lord today of your life? Amen. And everything you do, everything you think, just... Well, let's stand up. We're going to change over service after this quick song here. Put your hands together. It's been a while. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to my Lord. Well, the whole world is born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Well, the whole world roams in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Well, the whole world is born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. That's just how he loves you and me. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, you're working about this and you're running about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're running about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're running about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Comes right to it, praise the Lord with all of your mind. Well, I just wanna take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just wanna take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Well, I just wanna take a little bit of time and shout, glory, 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 glory to the Lord. Listen to this. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go home. I got the children get ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station, I want to go home. I got the children get ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station, I want to go home. I got children getting ready to leave. The engineer's got the whistle, people singing, only believe. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time. Glory, glory, glory. That's for you, Timothy. The reason those words might be a little off, I heard that long, long time ago on a tape from a Macon church. And I sat there and, man, I tried to write it and tried to listen. It was poor quality. And then I talked to the brother that sang it down there. So forgive me if it's off a little bit. That's my version.
World, they resound with God's own heart. Oh. Tammy can say that the Word of God's changed you. Amen. And keeps changing us from glory to glory. Amen. That's what we come to do tonight, to hear more from Him, to receive more Word. I want to be changed into more into His image. Amen. God bless you tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'm not going to sing. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Philippians, and then we're going to go to Isaiah 53. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Good to see Brother Daniel and Sister Debbie with us tonight. Amen. Always good to see y'all.
God bless you.
Amen. And just really good to see all the family tonight. Brother Al, Sister Emma's with us. And we really appreciate them. Amen. If you, before we read the scripture tonight, I know we have many needs, but I've been thinking, Sister Lisa St. John, I don't know if some of you know her or not, it's Brother Jason Watkins' sister. She lives in Washington State. Sister Lisa's been in the hospital. She was in the hospital several weeks ago, and she's back in the hospital. She has they say it's a bowel obstruction, and it's possible colon cancer. And Sister Lisa has a lot of health problems. She has cardiac problems, and it really hinders the course of care that they can do for her. She's in serious condition. And so tonight I want to pray for Sister Lisa. My grandmother, Grandma Gray, that was downstairs, she was really close to Sister Jean, Brother Eddie, which is Brother Jason's parents. And every time we go to South Carolina, I always say, Sister Jean, I love Sister Jean. She's a prayer warrior. She's got a wonderful testimony. And just a really wonderful family. I love Brother Jason, all the Watkins. They're just wonderful people. And so Sister Lisa really needs our prayer tonight. So y'all just continue to hold her up in prayer. We're going to pray because you know what? When doctors can't do anything, when man can't do anything, you know what? There's a God that can.
That's right.
Amen. You know, when God specializes in things thought impossible. So we want. She sent out. She had sent a message out on Facebook asking everybody to pray tonight. If we felt led to pray in church tonight, pray for her. And I was like, absolutely. We'll be praying for her and just continue to hold her up. And also, I want to say, Sister Regina's not here tonight. Oh, bless her heart. We'll be praying for Sister Regina. Well, Sister Regina was talking about her throat and everything. Well, Lily had a birthday Sunday, and I always remember Lily's birthday, Lily Roberts' birthday, because that's the day that I had my elbow surgery. It's been 9 years, and I got pictures on my phone. When I got through physical therapy, and I was all the time doing this, and even my physical therapist, we got pictures of all of us. You know, when I fell at work and broke my elbow, I broke my humerus, and it wasn't funny. Y'all think it's funny. It's not funny. I don't know why they call it your funny bone. It's not funny. It wasn't no joking matter. But they had to put all that back together. And, you know, they had to cut part of my elbow out to fix everything back, to clean all the broken parts out and everything. And, you know, when I got done, the surgeon said it was worse than he expected it to be. And he said there's people that had been through less, that's had less injury than what I had, that hadn't got as much flexibility and movement and strength that I got out of mine.
Amen.
It's been 9 years.
Amen.
And I can still flex my arm. You know, when you go through all that and you're sitting there and you realize the condition, and you know, you can, if they go to do surgery, you run a real risk of having nerve damage where you won't be able to use your hands, your fingers, you won't feel nothing. And I asked Dr. Davis, when I went in there, I said, do you believe in divine healing? He said, yes, I do.
Amen.
I said, well, you're my doctor. That's the kind of doctor I want.
Right.
We got done with surgery. After 2 week post-op, I went back to see him, and he ran his finger down the outside of my hand like this. He come down and run his hand down through there, right there. And he said, can you feel that? Every bit of it. And he said, well, I like to think that I'm good. He said, but we had divine intervention.
Amen.
Well, you know what? I remember going through that surgery and standing on the roof and working. And I was limited on what I could do. But, you know, I got up there and I done what I could. But, you know, I got on the roof and I was at work and I was doing what I could. But, you know, I kept singing, I have a source of strength when I'm weak.
Amen.
That takes me through when life is pressing me.
Right.
You know, I claimed the blood
Amen.
Jesus shed on Calvary for all my sins, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. And so I thank God. I was going to tell Sister Regina was talking about her having throat problems, and Sister Francine was talking about having throat problems. And I thought, well, you know what?
Yep.
I was having, you know, I couldn't, I couldn't sleep after I broke my elbow before they done all that. You know, you can't sleep, you can't rest. Anytime you move your arm, it hurts. All that swelling. You can't touch your face. You can't scratch. I mean, you know, it's just like you start itching and you can't use your arm. And you don't know if you're going to get it back. And the devil's right there on your shoulder the whole time. You're going to be all one arm cripple. Well, you know what? I know the devil's a liar because he's talking to me. So I thank God that I'm healed and I'm whole. They say I only lost 3% use in that one, but I hadn't missed it. So. Workers comp give me some money because they said I lost 3% impairment. I took the money. I ain't missed it. I'm still strong and I can still do what I want to. So I just thank the Lord for that. And you know, there's been many places that I've went to, and you know, I get up and I testify of that. What God done for me. If he can do it for one, he can do it for others.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. I know there's many needs, but you know, I'm so glad that we have a miracle working God.
Amen.
And he's on the scene. All we got to do is trust him and believe him.
Amen.
And he'll work wonders.
Yes.
He'll do more exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I believe that. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author before we read the scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for your blessings on us. Lord, we're just so thankful for what you've done for us. And Lord, we can't give you enough praise and honor, Lord, for what you've done for us. But most of all, Lord, you saved us, Lord. You brought us out of darkness and you brought us into marvelous light. Lord, where would we be without you? Where would we be without this light, this glorious light?
Yes.
And Lord, our desire is to show other people that you still live. Lord, that you're still everything that the scripture says you are. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, that's what we just want to be more like you, Lord Jesus, to be more of a light to the world that they can see you in us. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands tonight. We pray that you bless the service, Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, the ones that are not here. Father, I pray that you bless Brother Keith and Sister Francine, Brother Wade, Sister June, Lord, as they're at Brother Bruce's tonight. I just pray that you bless them, Lord. Just come down and touch each one, Father, and bless Brother Keith as he ministers, Lord. Lord, may they have a wonderful service, and we just commit ourselves into your hands. Lord, we just pray that you come and minister to each one. Father, whatever the needs are, Lord, I don't know what each one needs, Lord, but you do. But we know that you are the answer to whatever question we have, whatever our needs are. And Lord, we just commit it to you. And Lord, we just thank you for all things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 5 through 8. And then we'll go to Isaiah 53. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled. He became obedient unto death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. And Isaiah 53, and we're going to begin at verse 10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I want to take a little thought and entitle this, To Be Like Jesus. And you know, as listening to Brother Branham, and you know, there's many times when he's speaking of and singing the song To Be Like Jesus. And you know, when Brother Branham is speaking, talking about, you know, for us to be like him, well, there's many people have this idea who Jesus is, and you know, the world has their view of who Jesus is and what Jesus is like, and the, you know, Hollywood has their version and different ones, but you know, it's what does the Scripture say about Jesus? Right. You know, what does the Word say that Jesus was who he was? And you know, here in Philippians, I got to thinking about this, you know, because when you look at Jesus, you know, when you see the kind of life that Jesus lived, many people want to talk about, oh, the wonderful things of Jesus and the glorious things of the life of Jesus and who Jesus was. But you know, the main thing is it's not just the glorious and the wonderful things, because everybody wants to talk about, you know, the majesty and the adoration and the glory and the power of Jesus and who he was and all these things. But you know, the thing is when you look at the life of Jesus, where he came from, when God became flesh and condescended down to man, when he came into take on the form of sinful flesh, and it says, you know, he said he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant. When you look at this, that he left the position that he held of who he was and where he was at, and became and took on the form of a man, that he condescended down to where we were, to be what we were, that we could be what he is. But he took this on and laid aside all of these things and became humble. And took on these things and became obedient. And it says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When you look at the condition that where he came from and to where he was at, and the God of all creation, of all glory, of all these things, and all of a sudden he became the lowest of the low. He came down to where we were at to take our place, that we could be what he is. And you see that, you know, everybody talks about, oh, you know, I want to be like Jesus, you know, because people talk about, you know, this wonderful Jesus, he was so meek and all these things. But you know, you look at when you talk about I want to be like Jesus, well, many times people don't take into effect that, you know, he was rejected. He was despised. You know, I mean, when you look at the things that he suffered, you know, all the ridicule and the grief and the suffering that he went through, and everybody's like, well, I want to be like Jesus. Well, you know what? Everybody wants to bypass all that. Nobody wants to take on all of those things that he had to live through. But you know, when you read there in Isaiah, when he talks about what he done, he said he had pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know, to put all the chastisement, all of the punishment, all of the justice that had to be for our account was poured out on him. All of the justice that had to be, that because of the sin curse had to be paid for, because that judgment had to be paid for, it had to be poured out on one person, and he took our place. When you realize what he done for us, that he took on this, that we could come to where he's at, that, you know, he could do these things. And it says, because he poured out his soul unto death. But see, all that he was, he poured out. He left everything and come exactly into the Father's will to do exactly what God had for him to do. He held nothing back to come to this place that he could take on our form. When you see what he done for us, that he became to this and he poured out everything and he left everything behind and he came to this place to do exactly what was supposed to be done for us, which should have had that judgment upon us. The judgment was ours, but he came to this place and he took it upon himself. All of this was poured out on him. And you think, oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because there was somebody that was willing to love me when I was unlovable. When I could not be reached, there was one that could reach me, and he reached out to me, and he come to exactly where I was at. Because you know what? I was a sinner. I was lost and on my way to hell, and I deserved every bit of it. But there was somebody that came in my place, that took my judgment, that took everything, that poured out mercy and grace upon me. That I received what he had for me, that I could be exactly what he is. When you stand there and you see that the scripture, when he took upon himself all of these things that he given, what did he give you? He said we're become heirs with Christ, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. When you see these things and what he done for us, what a wonderful thing to realize that God took all of this, all the judgment, everything that was poured out upon us, and all of that was wiped away. All our slates were cleaned. There's no remembrance of that in the mind of God. When you think about what God's done for us, how wonderful it is. See, the whole world thinks, well, it's just so, you know, just some dried out of confection. You just come up here and you just speak to somebody and say, well, I just believe. No, it takes more than that.
Right. Right.
It takes a life-changing experience, because that's what it takes. It's not just saying, I just believe what he done, that he died upon the cross. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he was the Word made flesh. He was this. Whatever the scripture says about him, that's good. But the devil believes the same thing. But it doesn't. But it takes more than that for a life-changing experience, to have a revelation, to have a new birth. It takes more than that.
Amen.
When people say, "Well, I just believe," well, that's wonderful. Thank God. But did it ever change your life? Because you see the world, and you say, "Well, I just believe." Well, I just don't want it just to be a belief. I want it to be an experience where it changes my life.
Amen.
I'm not the same person I was before.
Right. Amen.
That I just don't walk the same way.
Yes.
Why? Because when things come our way, When we see what he's done for us, when we see where we came from, when you see these things in the scripture, then you begin to see, you know what? There's more of Aaron Roberts alive than there's dead.
Right. Right.
Why? Because there's still, as Paul said, I gotta die daily. Why? Because there's still more that's hindering me. The work of God that God wants to do in my life, to see Jesus Christ live in me, and the world can see Jesus Christ, not to see me, but they can see him. What is it? There's more of dying out that's got to be done. There's more that's got to be poured out. So we, here in Hebrews 5, verse 7 says, well, verse 6 says, and he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So when you look back, here he was, Jesus, when he became, and he condescended and he took on this human flesh and lived a human life. And he went through all the struggles and the things that we all had to go through. You know, everybody talks about, Jesus didn't have to suffer, and he didn't do all these things. He was some, you know, because he was God made flesh, and he was some kind of supernatural thing that always happened. And, you know, he never got sick. He never got tired. He never got a splinter. He never got calluses. He never had any of these problems that, you know, because it's like he was so supernatural that he didn't get wet when it rained. I mean, all of these things that people act like, you know, he was so supernatural. No, he lived the same kind of life that we lived. He faced the same devil that we face. All the same struggles that we have. He had the same thing. And he went through all of those things. And here he went through all of this. And then he went to the garden, and there he was pouring out his soul. Why? Because he was a man, and here he was struggling with this, of what he had to do. He went through all those things. He said, in being made perfect, all the things that he suffered, all the things, the struggles he went through. He was all God, he was all man.
Yep.
But all the things he went through, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. How wonderful that is to realize that all the things that he suffered was for you and I. All the grief, all the sorrow, all the things. And he's our high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. All the things that he has suffered, he went through all of that for you and I. And the grace and mercy that has been bestowed upon us. How wonderful it is that all these things are for us. Now, Brother Branham says here in the message, let your light shine before men. He said the cold wants fire, not a picture of fire.
Right.
See, when somebody's cold and out in this cold, dark world, he said they don't want a picture of it.
Right.
He said they actually want a real fire.
Right.
They want something that's warm and that's something that's real.
Right.
He said, and the hungry, thirsting for God wants the gospel and power of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. No matter how simple it is, how unpopular it is with the world, they want reality.
Amen.
See, people have seen, because people have seen all the fake. And, you know, people that just kind of live the life and, you know, they are just putting on a show or whatever. But, you know, there's people out there that's looking for something that's real. They're looking for a reality. Something that actually, they want to see, well, the God that's on the pages. They want it to come alive. You know, because there's many people, they talk about, well, you know, the God that lived so many years ago and all the things that took place many years ago. There was a man years ago that was in the message, and he was in a denominational church, and he didn't know anything about the scripture. He just knew that God was real, and he didn't have any kind of really upbringing, and the church that he went was just, you know, just like every other, cold and formal, just, you know, you just come in and just do your religious duty and then you just go home. But one day he come across the path with somebody that had something.
Right.
And he began to draw to that person. And he said, what is it that's about you that's different? Oh,
Oh, our church has got hundreds of people in it. But he said, there's no life there. There's something about you that makes you different. What is it that makes you different than everybody else? So they began to share with him about the scripture. He began to see the scripture in the Bible. When he began to read the scripture for himself, he began to see that there's a life. Jesus Christ still lives. The same Jesus that walked on the shores of Galilee is still here today to do exactly the same thing.
Amen.
And he began to read the scripture and realize, you know, that because the same God that was back there that spoke to the prophets, that walked in the cool of the garden and spoke to Adam and Eve, he's still here to speak to you. And he's here to have fellowship with you. When he come to the realization that God was real to him, that God was speaking to him, that it was salvation to him, then he began to, I want more of this. Well, you know, he scared his parents because they thought that he had started to lose his mind. He's like, no, I just began to find the right one. When he went through all of those things, and they made him go see this preacher. And he's like, so he was this older preacher, you know, well-versed, scholarly. He began to speak to this young man and began to tell him, now listen, we know those are just stories in the Bible. All these things that are written, you know, these are just stories. He's like, well, you know, they're in the scripture, the prophet Elijah. The axe head fell in the water and the axe head floated. And it's like, we know steel can't float. And he began to tell about other things. When Jesus began to walk along and, you know, he turned water into wine. And all these other miracles that took place. All the things that God had done down through there. And he's like, I didn't even know some of those things were in the scripture. But he told that old man, he said, I don't care what the Bible says. If the Bible says that an axe head floated, it floated. And if God turned water into wine, he turned water into wine. And he said, if he went through there and there was death in the pot and Elijah put the meal in there and it made it okay, then it was okay. And if Shamgar was able to kill 1,000 with an ox goad, then that's what took place. Whatever he done, and if Jesus was able to take a little boy's lunch and feed a multitude, he was able to do it.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says, and it's the truth.
Right. Amen.
And he began to tell that man, I don't know what the Bible says, but if the Bible says it, it's true.
Right.
And let me tell you, that's the way it is. You got to put your faith down. You got to have an anchor. No matter what the Bible says, no matter, everybody tries to say, well, this can't happen and that can't happen and none of this is true. And it's just, well, you can't trust Mark 16, the end of the chapter, because, you know, none of that was in the old manuscripts and all kinds of other things. Well, you know what? If the God wrote the scripture, if the God of heaven came down and wrote the scripture, then you know what? He was able to keep a word, every word that was written, and to put it in this Bible.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how many translations they come and they say, well, this ain't right and this is not right or whatever. No, you know what? There was God kept the word together and brought the word. And so everything that we need came. Just like when everybody says, well, you know, Malachi 4, that was John and all these type things, you know, they put off on somebody else. Well, you know, all this was, none of this belongs in our day and all that. Luke 17:30 doesn't apply to our day. It doesn't apply to Brother Branham. Absolutely it does. Whether, you know what, because the problem is it doesn't matter what anybody else says, it's what I, because it come real to me, then I believe it, and then whatever else, you can't, because some people in this world, you're not ever going to convince what the truth is, because it's not for them, but unto those that are for this word is for them, then they're going to receive it, they're going to believe it, because it's going to fall exactly where it's supposed to fall.
Amen.
See, there's people out there that they're not going to believe it. Well, they're not going to believe it. Some people don't believe in tongues and interpretation. They don't believe in the 9 spiritual gifts. They don't believe in a 5-fold ministry. Well, I still believe like Brother Dale said, well, if you don't believe me, just bring me your Bible and I'll just start ripping all the pages out of it. If you don't believe it, let's just get rid of it. Why? Because they started out with one translation, and there's another translation, and there's another translation. Well, if you don't believe the Bible, you know, if you just don't believe in the spiritual gifts, or you don't believe in this, don't believe in the fivefold ministry, well, then you know what? Then you can just have your own translation of the Bible. That's why everybody believes it. Well, I just say, well, I don't believe this, and I don't believe that. I don't believe the serpent seed. I don't believe these things. But you know what? It's to those who believe. God will open your eyes. How many knew that didn't see those things in the beginning? How many didn't see water baptism, Acts 2:38? But there was one day that God crossed our path to show us these things. How many people like me sat in a message church all your life and all you've done is hear the prophet? Like Brother Donnie Reagan said, we cut our teeth on a message pew. We've lived it all our lives. That's all we've known is the prophet. But you know what? It wasn't a life-changing experience. Oh, we believe Brother Branham to be a prophet. As far back as I can recall, having a conscious thought, I knew Brother Branham was a prophet. But you know what? It didn't do me any good.
Right.
It never changed me.
Right.
It was just an idea. It was just a thought.
Yeah.
Until the same God that spoke to Brother Branham came and spoke to me and began to speak to me to show me where I needed to be. That I was lost, that I needed a Savior.
Right.
And to show me this word was true.
Amen.
When I began to see who I was, where I was at, and where God was calling me to.
Right.
Right. Amen. Praise God. What God brought us to.
Amen.
He said, a man that knows he's got to meet God don't care about any class. He wants to find God.
Right.
He wants to find assurance that when he comes down to the river, there'll be somebody there to meet him and to show him the way.
Right.
He wants something that anchors him now that knows, I know my Redeemer liveth, and at the last day, he will stand on the earth.
Amen.
He said that I'm persuaded that there's nothing present that which is in the future or shall come, hunger, perils, or anything, will ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. That's what they're looking for. The world is looking for that. But you know, it's just, you know, will you just believe? Just believe. Just come up here and raise your hand or shake a hand and just make a statement. So I believe this. But it takes more than just a belief to say, well, I just believe it. Because it takes, Brother Brown said, it takes a real old-fashioned conversion.
Amen.
He said, I want a real old-fashioned conversion, a man or woman that's willing to walk down and say, I'm wrong. I want to be like my neighbor. Talking about his neighbor, because he said, you see these people that live the kind of life, because you see somebody that's like, I want to be like them. There's somebody that crosses your path. I want to be like that person. There's something about them that stands out. I want to have the experience that they have.
Right.
He said, I want to walk so godly before men that people will think of me the same as they did him. He said, I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want people to see Jesus Christ,
right,
not just see me.
Right. Oh,
we have all our faults and failures, but I wanted people to see Jesus Christ. I want to see the right kind of life. See, when you see the kind of experience that people have, that changes your life, that makes you into a new creature. See, when you realize what had to be done, Brother Bram says, here's a great picture. He said, the first, the Redeemer, someone who can redeem the lost state in Israel. He said, you know, you preachers know this. The man first had to be a kinsman. He had to be a close kinsman. He said, when God himself was made flesh and dwelt among us, he become kinfolks to the human race. That's right. The only way it could be, when God was made flesh here among us, he become kinfolks. He said, not to angels, but to human beings. He said he humiliated himself and stripped himself from all of his worldly glories and come down and was made kinfolks with man in order to fulfill the law of kinsman redeemership. He said, what a precious love the Father had for Adam's fallen race, that he came down and took on all of this and forgot all, left all those things behind, and he came down to take on our place, our sin, that he could, that we could be what he is. He said, what kind of a debt could be paid? He said, when God owns all the universe and all kind of spaces and all the things and everything else, he said he was able financially to pay the debt, because we were not able to pay the debt. And he saw us in that condition to come to pay the debt for us. Right. That we could be these things. How wonderful that is. He said, God stripping himself down, leaving all things behind, taking on himself on the form of sinful flesh to humiliate himself, to come down to be kinfolks to the poorest beggar there is in the world tonight, to be kinfolks to him. Jehovah himself made kinfolks to a beggar. What condition that God was in, when you see where he came from to what he had to come to, that he become all of this to be where we were, give up everything, to be humiliated. The King of glory, the King of all kings, the one who created all things, here he was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Amen. All the things, the very, brother, I said, the very Prince of glory, all these things condescending, coming down. And here he was. He went through all these to be the very bottom, the very lowest, to reach you and I.
That's right.
And yet, to be rejected. In all that he done, he was rejected. Said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. To do all of those things, to bring us into a place that God has for us. What a wonderful thing when you realize that. When Jesus began to walk here on the earth, you know, and he began to do and began to preach all the things that he done, began to preach to the people. Oh, here's a great group of people. No doubt many people knew who Jesus was. They knew, oh, we're looking for the Messiah to come one of these days. He's coming to fulfill the scripture. And here, oh, wait, the priests and the scribes and everybody's reading all the scriptures all the time. Tell us, listen, this is what he's coming to do. We're looking for a great Messiah to come. And was it? He comes so lowly. He comes so humble that they missed him, that they rejected him. Here he was pouring all these things and began to point the people back to the scripture. Not some idea, but what the scripture said.
Right.
They sit there and said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me.
Right.
Here's the scripture. Then he begins to point them back to the scripture, showing them this is what was supposed to take place. And he was rejected and despised. But you know, in all of this, we know that Jesus spoke, and this, and St. John, Jesus is speaking, and he said, the Son can do nothing in himself. except what he sees the Father do. He said, then the Son doeth likewise. So he sees what the Father had, the vision that was given, and he began to do those things. And he began to walk in a vision to all of the things that he'd done on this earth. And how you see that all of the things that he went through, yet that he was reaching out to the people to show them the Scripture. Right. Not just some idea, but it was the Scripture being fulfilled.
Amen.
And you know, because here's the opening of the Word, and all the things that they begin to look at, all the Scriptures that they, all the prophets and all the things that the Psalms had said, all these things, and here he was being made manifest before them. Began to speak to them and tell them, listen, this is what the Scripture says. And you know, all they could do was begin to argue. Well, we thought he was supposed to come from Bethlehem. We thought he was supposed to be a Nazarene. All these different things. He's from Galilee. All these different things. Is there anything that could come out of Nazareth? Could anything good come out of this place? Is this man not Joseph's son, the carpenter? Where did he learn all these things? Are you sure this man has a devil? And all of these things, he began to express the Word of God to them.
Right.
And the whole time, there was a group of people that stood there and rejected him.
Right.
You think back, Brother Branham, and I don't have the quote, but I can find it. But Brother Branham is speaking in questions and answers on the seals, and he's talking about the number of people that even believed Jesus when he was on the earth. And he was talking about, you know, there's only like a third, and then he was talking about there's like a fifth of those people that actually believed that he was that knew he existed and had heard him, and then, you know, there was another smaller group that actually believed that he was the Messiah, that actually believed what he had to say. And when you look at it, you know, when you look at the numbers, according to what Brother Ram said, one out of 1,500 people believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And you look at all these people, the number of people that were there. And he began to speak to them. Now, all these people that were there, all very religious and all the things that they had been through, and here they are. And when he begins to speak to them, and he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hey, we got a belly full.
Yep.
But we're not going to follow the Word. Well, we can't trust that now. We don't believe that. That's too hard to believe. Because we expected God to do more. We expected God to be this great man. Here's this little man. Well, he's not tall enough. He's not eloquent enough. And yet it was exactly the fulfillment of the Word.
That's right.
Exactly what God wanted. It was the fulfillment of God's Word. When he began to walk, and even when John took him to the river and to be baptized, and there he was, and he said, and this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Right.
Oh, people see all these things, and yet they turn the Word down.
Right. Yep.
And here they are. He began to walk and show these things. But there was one that was sitting under, was it Philip sitting under the tree? You know, when he began to speak to him, he said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, when did you see me? He said, I saw you under the tree. See, there was one that crossed the path that had the truth, and he spoke to that one.
Right.
So, you know, nobody had to convince him that it was the truth. When there was a woman down at the well, and it said, oh, we need to go by Samaria. We've got to, and nobody else, the disciples didn't know what he was doing. didn't understand where he was going. But he had seen a vision of one that had a place. Right. That he had to reach that one. Oh, everybody else had wrote her off. Nope. She'd been rejected. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with her. Right. But you know what? God was reaching out to her.
Right.
Jesus, I'm going to go down there and see her. Go down there and sit by the well. Well, who in the world would want to have anything to do with that person? A woman of ill repute, who would want to have anything to do with her? Jesus would. When he went down there and he began to speak to her, "Woman, give me a drink." Well, you know, it's not customary for us to have any dealings together. Well, let me tell you something, sister. This ain't your common, ordinary Jewish man.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't. He began to contact her spirit and began to tell her, "Bring me your husband. Bring your husband here. Let's have a talk." "Oh, I got one." "Yeah, that's right. You ain't got one. If you had five of them, one you got now is not yours."
Right.
When he began to contact her, began to speak the word to her. Well, she didn't. "Well, you know what? I'll think about this. I'll read up on this. I'll have to go and ask the preacher what he thinks about this." So we know that when the Messiah comes, these are the things he'll do. Now, all the condition that she'd been in and all her sin. But you know what? She is still looking for someone that could reach her in her condition. And there he came. Jesus walked up to her and began to speak to her. And said, "I am he." Well, you know what? It didn't take her a week. She didn't have to go somewhere and read some kind of book. She didn't have to wait and, "Well, you know, I'll believe this when I get good enough.
Right.
Or I'll have to do something else. Or whatever it takes, whatever I think in my mind is pleasing to God." It didn't take any of that. What it took was her receiving the Word, because the Word stood in her presence. She was standing in the presence of the Word, and he began to speak to her about her condition. And listen, all she had to do was believe that the Word was for her. And the Word came to her and brought her to her condition. And when the Word began to speak to her condition, listen, then you know what? She didn't have to live the same way that she'd lived before. There was a Word that came to deliver her from the hurt place where she was at, and to bring her into the fellowship with God.
Amen.
To the place that God had for her.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, the same way with you and I.
Amen.
I think about that song. It says, "Who will be Jesus to them?" Mm-hmm. Who will show them the love? See, there's a group of people out there that's lost and dying, and they're wanting somebody to show them love, to show them there's a way to come out of the place where they're at.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't... Many times we don't want to go through the hardships and the pain and the problems. We don't want to go through the struggles. We don't want to have to face the ridicule and the rejection. We don't want to face all these things. Should I be carried home on a flowery bed of ease when others who fought and sailed through bloody seas. When the other people have fought to reach the goal, that we think that we've got less than what they've got to go through. Oh, it's a wonderful time. When you see the world, the condition of the world's in today, and not realizing that, you know, because Laodicea is this everybody's at ease and everything's okay, and you know, we just floating along and everything's so great. And many times people don't realize that the devil's rocking you to sleep. Right. The devil's rocking you to sleep, and the devil's blinding your eyes, and he's made everything easy and everything's okay, and everybody, because there's no battle, there's no struggle, there's no fight. Many times people just think it's okay and it's just easing right along. Well, if they're not careful, you know what happens is people just ease right on into hell. I wonder why I'll go this way. I don't know. I just tell what's on my heart.
Amen.
Because you see people that struggle. It's like, I want to be obedient. Lord, don't. If we have to go through hard times and struggles and problems, we have to suffer all these things. And Lord, I want to suffer. Oh, I want to be obedient.
Amen.
I want to be obedient to death.
That's right.
I think about those that were under back in the, you know, the fourth church age, and under that second seal, when that sword went out to take peace from the earth.
Right.
You see all those that went out through there and knew that death was waiting on them. But you know, the scripture says that, you know, he come to take peace from the earth and was given a great sword. But you know what? He never took their lives from them. Because, you know, those people, they gave their lives.
Right.
They walked out there boldly. Well, you know, there's no victory in that. Because, you know, if I've got something and you want to take it from me, it's like, oh, I'm going to take that. It's like, Brother Ryan's going to take something. Well, I just give it to you, Brother Ryan. Here you go. Well, you know what? You didn't take nothing from me. I give it to you.
Right.
Well, there's no victory. See, Satan trying to take their lives. Like, well, we're going to have this great victory. No, they were willing to give their lives.
Right.
To give up everything.
Right.
Because here they're standing there. Oh, what a glorious time that they're... Because they said, just in a moment, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What a glorious time when they know that certain death is coming. And you see them walk out through there. And they begin to sing the songs of Zion and worship and praise the Lord. When Paul's standing there, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory?
That's right.
Amen. There's no victory. The Satan, because you know what? It's what God has ordained for these things to happen. And so when these things come to pass, well, praise God, I'm going to rejoice in them.
Right.
Well, see, there's a death for us to go through too. A death to ourselves. Death to our own ideas. Death for all these things on this earth. To put all these things behind us. We go past all these things. I want to lay all these other things aside. I want to press toward the mark, toward the high calling, to overcome. Brother Branham says, how can I overcome? He said, overcome means to stand the test. That's right, like the old saints did, like Jesus did. Amidst of all of his enemies, he stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood it. In the very face of sickness and him being Messiah, he healed them. In the face of death, he brought it back to life. In the face of Calvary, he owned death. He defeated it by surrendering himself. He said, why? He said, by the word said, you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. The word said so. Seeing in the presence of death, he defeated it. He overcome death. In the presence of hell, he defeated hell and overcame hell. Yes, in the presence of the grave, he overcame the grave. Why? All by the word and humility. Oh my, there's the real man. There's the one to make your example. See, he defeated everything. Overcome it. See, we have the word. We have a perfect word. We have, brother, I said we have perfect faith and a perfect word. To have faith in it. He said, by his faith in his word, he conquers. We can conquer anything, both death, hell, and the grave. We know that God is God. That perfect faith is God's perfect word. He conquered everything that he come in contact with. Death could not even stand in his presence. Sickness could not stand in his presence. Flowing from him was like rivers of virtue coming out constantly. Virtue going from his garment. These people laying in his shadow put his finger on his garment and was healed. When that woman done that, then everybody wanted to touch his garment because they seen that there was virtue coming from him constantly, flowing like rivers. There he was walking in a world with perfect faith because he was the Word. And now if you abide in me through him, he brought the Word to you, and my words abide in you. Then walk in the same kind of way. Virtues flowing from you. The rivers of God's fountain of blessings just flowing out of the people. See what I mean? And you're not bluffing. You're not imagining it. It's actually taking place. And you see it. He said, you're just imagining. If you're just imagining it, that won't do you any good. But it's really there. It really happened. So if the Word was in him and you're in him, the same thing that he went through, the same thing that you have the overcoming power. Oh, you're going to have to go through struggles and problems. I don't want to bypass any of that. I want to be a warrior to fight everything that whatever God has for me. I want to, because I don't want to just bypass it and, you know, just say one of these days when you go through it at the end of the journey and you begin to see all these Christians that fought and all these great warriors and say, what did I do? Well, I just barely made it. And when we have a real fight, we just want to give up. No, we want to be faithful to the fight all the way to the end. Oh, there's a... The journey, it may be hard. It may be full of struggles. We don't want to go through hard times. But you know what? There's a measure of suffering that's for each person. But you know what? There's a measure of faith that's been given to each one of us that we can overcome everything that we have to overcome. All the struggles and the problems and the trials. I want to be faithful. I want to be found faithful in all that God has for us, that He's called me to. He said, because we see that we're just like Him. Brother, I'm speaking, and he's speaking of the negative and the positive coming together. He said, you see the negative. He said, they become closer and closer, the negative and the positive coming together until they become the exact same thing. He said, that's exactly when the church and the Word has to be one, like Jesus and God was one, just exactly. that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so will Christ have to be in the church, the anointed word, to make everything fulfilled. And that's the capstone that comes upon the last church age. Not the Laodicea now. It's a calling out of that. A bride out of a church. A church out of a church. And otherwise, just like he called a nation out of a nation in Egypt. He said, and we're living in that day. So this is the day that we're living in. Because the fight gets greater and greater. The journey gets greater and greater. But tell you what, God gets greater and greater. The overcoming power gets greater and greater. Oh, we have to go through hard times and trials. And we say, well, Lord, why do I have to go through these things? Why do these things happen to me? Like we feel like we're always on, we live on an island. Oh, everything's so upside down and all these struggles. But you know what? That's what God's called us to. But if you know what? If you've never been in a valley, if you've never been in a battle, if you've never been in a struggle, then you know what? You don't know what victory is. But when you come through the battle and you come through these hard times in your life and you stand on the other side and you look back, just like the song says, I'm standing on the mountain and looking back, I can see when I was in that lowest valley, your strong hand was leading me. Amen. Why? Because when you go through these things, because we don't see it right now, but sometimes we look back over the things that we've been through in our lives and we see what God has done. The song, God will make this trial a blessing. Well, we may not see those things. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. Well, we may not see that right now. We may not see those things. But you know, you just keep holding on. You keep going because God's going to bring you through. And he's going to show you that he's been right there the whole time. And he's going to bring you. And you're going to see the victory. I feel like a mess tonight, but I see so many people that struggle and have so many problems. And it's time to stand up and fight. Just keep fighting.
Right.
Don't give up.
That's right.
God's on your side.
Right.
We're more than conquerors through
Amen.
Him. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. Have the musicians come. I don't know what key that's in. Let's try singing that. God will make this trial a blessing. I'm not. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need
to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will sing.
Amen. Well, what am I close to? We'll play C.
God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make His trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. I am standing on the mountain, looking back, I can see. When I was in that lowest valley, Your strong hand was leading me. To see the sunrise and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace He has for me. Yes, God will make this trial a blessing. Though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make His trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank You for all those valleys that You've carried us through.
Amen.
Lord, we've seen You. We look back over all the trials and the things we've been through. Lord, You've been leading us all the way. Lord, in our lowest valleys, Lord, when we didn't think we could make it, You were there carrying us through. Lord, we just thank You for all of that, for Your mercy and grace to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that You just help us tonight. Help me, Lord, to be more like You. Lord, to be more humble, to be more meek, Lord. Lord, I want there to be less of me and more of You. Lord, to lay ourselves on the altar every day. Lord, that there's be a death. Lord, there's a resurrection, a new life. Lord, there's many people out there, Lord, that are looking for truth. Lord, I don't want to be just a put on. Lord, I just don't want it to be some thought or some idea. Lord, I don't want to be just a halfway Christian. I don't want to be some kind of hypocrite. Lord, there's a world that's lost and dying. There's people out there looking for the real thing. Lord, they've been sold a bill of goods, but there's no life there. There's no overcoming there. There's no victory there. But Lord, that's what Your word promised us. And Lord, we claim our God-given rights, our divine blessings. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going to take place, Lord, but I know that You're in control. Lord, we get so... We go times, Lord, we're just so frustrated with things. And
Lord, there's so many battles that we fight. And Lord, you just keep telling us to roll our burdens upon you. And Lord, that's what I want to do. Lord, I can give you all my burdens and all my problems. I can come to a place of refuge, Lord. Lord, that I can come into that and let off the pressure. Father, for anyone that's here tonight, Lord, that feels the same way, Lord, I pray that you just come by their way and touch them. Lord, there's a place of refuge that's waiting for them to walk into, Lord. Lord, may we be a bright, shining light to this world. It may be Satan's evil, and it may be continuing to get darker and darker. But our light is to shine before men. Lord, we're not going to hide our light. We're going to proclaim the light to this world. Lord, I don't want to get... dilatory or anything, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be lax in my experience. I don't want to get cold in my experience. Father, the rebuke to our day was not to be lukewarm, but to be hot or cold. Lord, my desire is to be hot, to be on fire. Lord, to be consumed by the fire of God. Lord, I lay myself on the altar tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you take this. Lord, it's not the way what I planned tonight, Lord. But Lord, it's what's been on my heart. So, Lord, I'm just here to speak your word, Lord. I pray you just take it and use it. May it be a blessing. Lord, we commit all things into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing a song before we dismiss. What are you playing there?
Let's sing God on the Mountain. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing God on the Mountain.
What key is it?
Amen.
See? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind. still God in the night.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Temptation.